from CBS News Bay Area. This is the Afternoon Edition.
Right now in the Afternoon Edition, breaking news, body cam footage from the night of that brutal hammer attack on Paul Pelosi.
New surveillance video shows the suspect, David DePapp, kicking through the window to enter the Pelosi San Francisco home. The video is shocking, it's disturbing in some moments, but CBS News was part of the fight to get it out to the public because of the light it sheds on this case. Good afternoon, I'm Elizabeth Cook.
And I'm Ryan Yamamoto. The San Francisco Superior Court released that video just hours ago. Our very own Justin Andrews analyzed the video, has these late-breaking details. And Justin.
Ryan Lee, as I analyzed every single second of this surveillance video, it shows the moment David DePapp walked into the Pelosi's property and busted the glass to get inside. The video shows DePapp climbing through the shattered glass. We timed it, and DePapp did all of this in 6 minutes. We also have police body camera video that is very difficult and disturbing to watch. It is indeed graphic, but it illustrates what happened almost 3 months ago.
Police body camera footage showing us the seconds the suspected intruder, David DePapp, attacked Paul Pelosi with the hammer right in the foyer of the Pelosi's Pacific Heights home.
This is San Francisco Police. Do you need help?
Oh, well, there's a gentleman here just waiting for my wife to come back. Nancy Pelosi.
This is the 911 call after David DePapp broke into the Pelosi's home early Friday morning back in October. Paul Pelosi is seemingly calm on the 911 call up until this moment.
I've got a problem, but he thinks everything's good.
Okay. 20, call us back if you change your mind.
No. This gentleman just came into the house, and he wants to wait here for my wife to come home.
Do you know who the person is?
He told me not to do anything.
Eventually, the call is disconnected. Minutes later, police arrive on scene, walking up to the door. The police body camera footage playing out as the officers knock on the door. Once the door opens, you see Paul Pelosi and DePapp at the door, both with the hand on the hammer. Police demand DePapp drop the hammer and watch and listen closely to what happens next.
Hi, how you doing?
How are you?
What's going on, man?
Everything's good.
Hi. Drop the hammer.
Nope.
Hey.
What is going on right now?
We froze the video, but this is the moment we see DePapp beat Pelosi with a 5-pound hammer, fracturing his skull. Police quickly move in, somehow wrestles DePapp to the ground as they are yelling.
Give me your fucking hand! Give me your fucking hand!
Oh, just very graphic there. Paul Pelosi spent 6 days recovering at a San Francisco hospital after he underwent surgery for that skull fracture. Ryan.
Thank you, Justin. Here's where that case stands against the suspect, David DePapp. He last appeared in state superior court in late December. That is when he pleaded not guilty to 6 charges filed by the San Francisco DA. Those charges include attempted murder and first-degree residential burglary. He is due back in state court on February 23rd. When a trial date is likely to be set, DePapp has also pleaded not guilty to federal charges in the Justice Department's parallel case.
Well, the video is out there now, but what does it mean for the court case against David DePapp? Joining us now to give us some context on the legal impact of this case is attorney Tony Brass. Tony, thanks so much for joining us. Now, we want to be clear, you're not on this case, but both prosecutors and the defense team did not want this video released. In fact, we just got this statement from DePapp's defense team. I'm going to read it to you. It says, releasing this footage is disrespectful to Mr. Pelosi and serves no purpose except to feed the public desire for spectacle and violence. The footage is inflammatory and could feed unfounded theories about this case, and we are extremely concerned about Mr. DePapp's ability to get a fair trial. All right, let's start, Mr. Brass, with your reaction to that statement. Do you agree with it?
I both agree and disagree. If I was Mr. DePapp's attorney, I would probably say the same thing. But as a member of the public, I understand that there's a lot of social interest in the case. The case is someone who's a very important person in our community. The violence is of concern, and the video is available. And so the media's interest in show the public, to give the public answers about this, is pressing also. But at any time I'm defending someone charged with a criminal act, I'm concerned about the creation of witnesses, which now we all are. I have now witnessed the attack on Paul Pelosi. I'm no longer I can't be a juror. I've witnessed this. And so that's a real concern. That is something that it does change the game for the defense attorney. It changes the game for the prosecution, because mm-hmm. it's true. We all will now form theories about this case. We all will have an idea of what happened because we laid eyes on it. And so, you know, that's something that society has to balance. There are rules in place for certain types of victims, victims of sexual assault, victims who are children. We protect those victims with anonymity. This is not that type of case. And so should this video be out? The court said yes. And, you know, like anything else, let's put it like this. Had this happened in the middle of a stadium with 40,000 people watching, that would be unfortunate for the defense. But the fact is that those witnesses get to have their opinion, they get to have their view, and you don't get to have privacy when you commit crimes.
Now, I'm just curious if we can look at this a different way, though. Is it possible, though, the video being out there can help both the prosecution and the defense? Is that even possible?
Well, it doesn't help in this sense. Could it help the prosecution achieve a win? Maybe. But what both sides want, what both the prosecution and defense sides want, is due process. Mm-hmm. To do that, both sides want to present a jury with the evidence that they are not familiar with, that they're seeing for the first time in court, under the controls of the court's rulings regarding what comes in and what doesn't. And so when evidence exists and starts getting published, you know, uniquely media evidence, things like video, then what happens is that everyone sees this before they're even in that courtroom. I don't know if a judge would rule that part of this video doesn't come in. I don't know if there's other concerns from an evidentiary point of view that the defense attorney now has to try to limit, but also will know that everyone's already seen this video. So they can't be limited. I can't foresee what will happen in that trial, but this is a piece of evidence that is now being viewed without judicial control. And both sides, you can't acquit or convict somebody unless you have thoroughness in the process. And so this does sort of betray that. We have jumped the corral. Now everyone is seeing this before a judge is ruling whether or not this is all admissible. Now, I would predict it would be. I don't think there's anything wrong with this. I don't see, nothing jumps out at me why this video wouldn't come into trial. But I'm also not in the trial. And I know that at times when I am, one is surprised and how the evidence is shaped by a judge who no longer will be able to do that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, no doubt. All right, Tony, thank you so much. We will have the very latest developments for you on air and online at kpix.com, and you can always find us streaming on CBS News Bay Area.
Well, the public is bracing for the release of video of the Memphis police officer's confrontation with Tyree Nichols. The family of the 29-year-old man says the footage shows him being beaten after a traffic stop earlier this year. He died 3 days later, and now five former officers are charged with second-degree murder. Jared Hill is in Memphis with the latest.
As Memphis braces for the release of police video showing the officer's violent confrontation with Tyree Nichols, prosecutors explained why it was important to set expectations and appeal for calm beforehand.
When people actually see with their own eyes the kinds of things that occurred in this incident, there's an even greater potential, I think, for a very serious public reaction.
Nichols' family says the 29-year-old was restrained, beaten, tased, and pepper sprayed after being pulled over near his home in Memphis on January 7th. He died in the hospital 3 days later.
No mother should go through what I'm going through right now.
The five officers involved in the traffic stop were fired and now face felony charges, including second-degree murder, aggravated assault, and official misconduct.
This is the blueprint going forward for any time any officers, whether they be black or white, will be held accountable.
Lawyers for two of the former officers said their clients will plead not guilty.
He could not be more upset about this entire situation. To be accused of being involved in the death of another is devastating to him.
Local officials chose to wait until after the school and business day was done to release this footage. Memphis area schools, in fact, canceled all after class activities preemptively. Nichols' family will hold a funeral for the father, FedEx worker, and avid skateboarder next week.
All five former officers charged in Nichols' death have been released on bond. And happening today in Half Moon Bay, a candlelight vigil for the victims of Monday's shooting that left seven people dead. This is at Mac Dutra Plaza, right across from City Hall. That's where a memorial is now growing for the victims. Today's vigil, that will take place at 5 o'clock. BART service is now back to normal after a very chaotic morning commute. The transit agency says it all started when a maintenance vehicle damaged a section of track during overnight hours. An electrified third rail and equipment were near it were damaged. This is near the 12th Street station in downtown Oakland. That prompted BART to power down all of the tracks in that area so they could bring in specialized gear. The problem was centered in a spot they call the Oakland Y.
This is a series of underground tracks that kind of create an area where you can change from one track to the other. And so it was in this area. It's an extremely tight area to work in, and it's also one of the true choke points in BART.
Passengers had to use buses to get from Oakland to San Francisco starting before 6 a.m. And service through Oakland and the rest of the system was restored at about 8:15, although there were some residual delays.
All right, let's get to First Alert meteorologist Jessica Burt. Chance of rain in the forecast for this weekend. Good timing, Jess.
I know, and it's a slight chance. We're going to break that down in just a second. But let's start off with these temperatures. We are 15 degrees cooler right now than where we were yesterday at this exact same time up in Santa Rosa. Cooler conditions across the board. So what's going on? Well, I'm about to explain it to you. First things first, the winds are starting to die down. We're starting to see low pressure return into the forecast. And when the winds die down, that allows for that fog to slowly roll its way back in. Yeah, the marine layer is back, folks, and we had it all throughout the bay this morning in patchy conditions, especially off near Oakland. Now it's starting to clear up a little bit more. San Jose is actually at 56 degrees right now with sunnier conditions there. Great visibility down in the Santa Clara Valley, but we're still seeing some patchy conditions just along the coast near San Francisco. So the winds are going to stay light for the next couple hours.